You're listening to 88.7 The Choice. I am Jeff, and my co-manager Janice is here.
Howdy.
Our wonderful morning DJ Tim Lewis is here.
Hello.
And we are joined by Adam Elk of the Mommy Heads.
Hey.
Who's here on his yearly visit to KTCU all the way from New York City. How you doing?
Pilgrimage to Texas.
I love it. I love it here.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So let's recap maybe the last year. So from when you were here last year, you came and we got to meet you for the first time and we had a good time. We talked about everything. We talked about the album last year that you were promoting, the soundtrack to the end of the world.
Soundtrack to the World's End. Yeah.
Soundtrack to the World's End.
It's the same thing.
I'm looking at my notes, but I can't find it.
It's a dismal title, you know.
Soundtrack to the World's End.
What was I thinking?
Well, I mean, are we far away from that yet?
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy out there.
It is. And one of the things we talked about was touring and how you had this huge fandom in Sweden and Denmark, and you were talking about potentially going back. Well,
we went back.
You did go back.
Yeah, we played 10 shows in a row. It was, again, amazing. You know, our kind of pop, progressive pop music does well there. The last show had 600 people. It was a festival.
Wow.
And, yeah, we're just this little band. You know, we don't... I kind of asked, what are you guys doing here? And there's a language barrier, so that wasn't really a response.
Oh, no.
But they really get a kick out of us. You know, we're kind of one of those bands that never found its footing. You know, we're a little ahead of our time or behind our time.
Right.
So we were doing kind of Death Cab-ish music in 90.
Right.
Back when, you know, grunge was massive and everybody was turning up to 12, 13. And we were playing at 2. You know? And so we broke up, and then everyone decided to play the 2. You know, emo core and all that.
Right.
But somehow they got us there, and I actually did. We do radio shows there, and I enjoyed them so much that now we have our own label for the first time, and I kind of love it because you hire the radio guy, you hire the press guy. They're your employees almost.
And exactly.
They right. give you these reports and they little comments, you know, like you send a comment like, love them, you know. And I'm like, I want to meet that person. So I saw the comments. There were like 20 of them. And now I'm doing like a 10 to 20 radio show tour cities. So I've done like 10 already in the U.S. And I got to say, it's amazing because I can play this acoustic guitar in a cafe and there'd be 10 people in the back just talking, looking at their cell phones. And, you know, right. you're kind of like, what am I doing? But when you're sitting across from people that are DJs that are either, you know, like us, we've been loving it for years, or a newer DJ, the pure love of it just flows. And you don't feel like you have to prove yourself to the coffee house crowd or the rock club crowd.
Exactly.
Where right.
You're definitely sticky. Appreciated.
You feel like you're on the same level. And they've all been great. I was in San Antonio yesterday, and the 9 p.m. slot, and this guy was, he's a 20-year-old DJ, just the love of music was pouring out of him, and he went to the radio convention in St. Louis and came back with all these bands he saw. And
oh, wow.
So I'm loving this.
Yeah,
to me,
translates.
It's rekindling, you yeah. know, the same way you guys love music, and, you know, I feel the same. And
it's timeless. I mean,
it
whether you started, you know... Wait, in the 90s?
So timeless. Yeah. I feel timeless, which yeah. is better than feeling like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
There's no expiration
time's up.
To your music. Yeah. No expiration.
Yeah. Nope. And I prefer, I was at CB's when I was 19, and I remember Guns N' Roses, they were on the first tour.
Oh
no, nobody knew
wow.
them, right? And they were playing the canteen next to CB's, which was a record store with a little acoustic thing.
Oh my gosh.
And they played acoustic, and I'm not a huge Guns N' Roses fan.
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of that, you know, that
yeah.
metallic voice. But, you know, they were on this little acoustic tour, and I think they were proving themselves how good they were by just blowing people away with acoustic guitars. And this was before Unplugged.
You know, right.
This
was,
yeah.
Or maybe it was around the same time. And so to hear your, you know, bands that you like or been turned on to that have this huge presence, to hear them, you know, brought down to size and to hear the core of the music is I think, a great, you know, it should be done all the time.
Do you have a preference, you know, the Unplugged type versus the
you know, I
the
think,
stadium type?
I'm not in the stadiums. I saw Bruce Springsteen play for 3 hours. I left because I got a little bored. Yeah. And he was a mile away.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I agree.
If my nose was against the stage, it'd be great.
You know? Yeah.
If it was a small club in the 70s, I would have appreciated it more. I'm not into the big show. I'm not into the pyrotechnics. I don't think the bands are either.
Right.
I think if you ask them and they were honest with you, they'd say, we feel disconnected. This is not why we got into this. It's just a job. I'm paying off my Porsche, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, music is a tribal thing. It's a village thing. There was music to sort of, you would talk about politics through music, and you would talk about everything, education. And so it needs to be a personal thing.
I think so, too.
Intimate. So I'd love to hear anyone play face-to-face. But the big show, we like rock clubs here and there if the sound is good,
Yeah. Actually, that's a very similar experience that I had. I saw an opening band play for a bigger band, and the opening band were just having a great time on stage. And then the headliner.
They were bored.
Bored on stage.
You want to tell us who it is? Or
it was.
You don't have to. It's all right.
No, they were really good. It was actually Too Many Zoos. They're a Subway band.
Oh, cool.
But they had been playing together. They started in the Subway, and
which Subway?
New York, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Too Many Zoos, they were having a great, started small. Mm-hmm. They were there. It was raw. And then they started getting produced and they got bigger. And then That was the headliner. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what does it. Money.
Money.
Yeah. Once you quit your day job and you're like, oh, this is, everyone has their own lawyer. And
yeah.
We went through it. We broke up because of money.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing.
Yeah. But the band Thumpasaurus, opened, and they were crazy, man. They're just this small little band. They were just having a great time.
Well, you don't really go to a show just to hear the record live and to see bored musicians that are just happy. They're happy you paid the ticket price so they can pay their mortgage. You're there to see happiness on stage, or even you can see a band that's distraught, but if they're intense about it and they're conveying something, then it's worth it.
Right. Yeah. They make it personal.
It's
worth it.
And you hear all these stories of how all the bands we know opened for someone else and blew them off the stage. Rush blew, Bob Seger off the stage. Or then Rush got blown off the stage by, and it's like at some point there was this band that blew that major band off the stage and then they became big. And it's this lineage of bands blowing each other off the stage. And you want to be there for that opening band.
Right.
I remember when Nirvana toured with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I was in Phoenix, and everyone was like, this band Nirvana blew the Peppers off the stage. And that's when the buzz happened. So,
Too Many Zoos, they're still having a good time. I actually played their last song that they played. They had just written and hadn't planned on playing it that night.
So that's cool.
And they played it. And you could tell that last song they were into. They were really into it.
That's dope. Yeah. That's great.
So that was a good time.
Yeah.
So I want to jump back. You mentioned the whole money aspect and how that tears bands apart. But family seems to be like a big influence on the Mommy Heads. So tell me a little bit about the family influence.
That's a good segue to my next song. Well, I have kids and I'm a musician. So I'm for years I was full of myself and me. And, now you have kids and it's all about them. It's their world now. I just live in it. And it's great. They're great inspiration. Everything is brand new. And my son, I'll play this next song. It's called Woke Up a Scientist. And my son is one of those just vivacious kids that gets into something every week. One week he's a professional surfer. We have to buy him a surfboard. The next week he's a full time baseball player, and we have to get him everything. And then one week he woke up. He was like, I'm going to be a scientist. So I'll just get into this song.
I love it.
But I think if I sing exactly what's happening to me with my kids, it's great. If I try to embellish or think I need to make it better, it gets worse. So, here we go. He wakes up and gets out of bed and gets on the bus to school. There's something new burning in his mind. He knows what he has to do. Help us change the course we're on, 'cause we've been stuck at the point of no return.
He's searching his inner sky for a sign of life. Hope and hope still exist. He woke up a scientist. He puts all his graphs and charts into a leather-bound briefcase. He packs up his microscope and puts on his game face. He's gonna speak at the Academy to prove his hypothesis is true, that we're losing this human race unless we mend all of our mistakes. Hope and hope still exist. He woke up a scientist. But the grown-ups don't understand. They're too afraid of being hurt again. They don't believe what they can't see. They can't see what they don't believe. So many tried that came before. They all thought they had a cure. But apathy was their only plan. They never really gave a damn. Gave a damn. Every night when he goes to bed, so many thoughts rush through his head. Like, where the hell will we be tomorrow? How do we stem this constant flow of sorrow? Does anybody care? Or is this just a jest? I will remember today. He woke up a scientist. I will always remember today. He woke up a scientist. I will remember today. He woke up a scientist. I will always remember today. He woke up a scientist.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
That's awesome.
So that's, you know, a literal song.
Right.
But, you know, but obviously if you don't know my son, then it's just, could seem made up.
The video.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so this is crazy. So, in the 90s, you needed 50 grand to make a video. No one made a video. And when we were on Geffen, we got the 50 grand. Then they pulled the plug. They owed us the 50, so we just stayed on tour. So we never got to make a video. And then now, I asked some friends of mine what a video would be, and it was a little expensive because if it's animated, it could take a month. You know, so you're going to pay some money. And I see these bands with these great videos. I'm like, how'd you do it? So my son's like, you like Coraline. We love Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not? And so I did some research. And he's like, there's this software called Dragon Frame. And you get the keypad with it. And it's $300.
Oh, gosh.
And it's what they use.
This really?
Isn't like you need a motion picture setup.
All this stuff.
Soundstage lighting, you know. So I ordered it. It showed up. I put it in. It was amazing. And I use Pro Tools, so it's a similar platform. It's linear. It goes left to right. And,
right.
You know, a dummy can use it like me. And I'm not a meticulous person in a beyond music. Like, I can't do no taxes for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had a nightmare last night that I had a restaurant, and these German tourists came in, and they wanted, like, five of the salmon special and three whiskeys. And I was like, five of the salmon or four? And they're like, no, five, you know. And I just ran screaming. So I'm not a detailed person. But, you know, you get into the software and you start filming, and there's the music, and it's emotional, and all these dolls, you're moving little bits, you know.
Yeah.
And you just stay up all night.
The time flies.
The sun comes
so
up.
Into and I'm it, like, yeah.
And so we did 250 hours of this. My kids got involved. My son learned this. You know, kids are geniuses. So he watched YouTube. He's a genius. So he's like, Dad, this is the software. We get a camera. Boom, boom, boom. My daughter's got all the dolls. And then we had a video. And it was, so here's another bright idea. So there was the Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. We go to Puerto Rico a lot.
Yes.
We last time we went, we got our dog from the Vieques Humane Society. They almost had their roof blown off, so they need money.
Wow.
So right. My brilliant idea with our publicist was every view, we put a dollar up to $1,000 to this Humane Society. We were going to do it anyway, but here's an interactive way. Right. And then everyone's like, all I got to do is watch it. You know, I don't have to spend. So we got 1,500 views in a week. That's what we get for all our videos total. So it was in 1 week. So
wow,
that's fantastic.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you can be interactive and give back as a musician, even if your band is just a local band. You know, whatever you do,
yes,
you can interact with society, and the check literally goes to the people at this Humane Society. It doesn't go to a government. You know, big.
Right.
Where's
There's
my
no
money
in-between
going?
Guy.
And it feels really good. So.
Where did that idea come from? I know you've been down there traveling.
It's rough, you know. The hurricanes are rough, and you know the money is swept up into some
bad
stuff, as we saw in the paper.
And yeah.
I just wanted to direct. I wanted people to hear our music who like it, and this goes to any band really, and feel like they're a part of something else too.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Okay. Right.
That's where I was headed.
Yeah, you know, it's not just self-serving, like me, like me, like me. You know, hey, you know, we're going to, your eyeballs watching this video is a dollar to this Humane Society. So
sharing, that's awesome.
It was cool. That's,
oh my gosh.
That's the power of music right there.
It's the power of art. You know, art it can move people, make you feel something. So that's where we, you know.
So in the video, the dolls. They look like y'all.
Well, we made our own dolls.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I've been wondering that for a while on both of the videos.
It's
the scientist
creepy.
And the... Yeah. It's not so creepy. It's cool.
So at the end, we made our own dolls.
And the president ones. And
I can make dolls of you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
You do no shadows. You get a front, you know, one from the front, two from the side. And they pick hairdos so you can give yourself a crazy hairdo.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we pick outfits and they show up and they're not cheap. It's like, you know, we paid...
Yeah, all the outfit changes were amazing too.
Yeah,
that's just great.
I went down the rabbit hole like I was.
Oh no!
In the next song I'll play is Mutual Enemy. I've got every doll I could find. Police dolls, you know, Conan.
Yeah, I was gonna say the president dolls in Mutual Enemy was.
So we got a little political on this next song. We should tune up here.
So another stop animation doll.
So I couldn't stop. Stop animation.
Stop. It was amazing. Like the scientist video.
Yeah, so the Mutual Enemy doll, we had presidents, and this was our first political slanted song because I'm really tired of being told I need an enemy. You know, whether it's a blue state, red tie, blue tie, you must hate the other side.
Right.
Because
it's always stirring up some conflict, and that's,
So, you know, if you have a conversation with anyone, and they could be radical, you're going to find common ground, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You want to work, you want to make money, you want your family to be safe. And this whole sort of media slant where now I can't even watch TV anymore.
Right.
Because they're so aligned. With one side.
I do. Stay away from the news.
I grew up with Walter Cronkite. You know, it's like, he was just sort of telling you the news, you know?
Yeah, and there was respect.
And there was respect.
You didn't agree, but at least there was respect.
Yeah, it was like, back when there was chivalry on the battlefield.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Or take them prisoner. Don't just, you know, like, put them in a camp, feed them. You know, they gave up. They white flag. Now there's no white flag.
Just the
they're just evil, and you're correct. So
yeah.
So the new album.
Deep Thoughts.
Yes. I love it. Deep Thoughts
with Adam Miller.
Now you have to say something completely random.
Yes, to break the deep thought. He's in a trance.
Oh.
Yeah, so the new record's
the new
fun,
album.
You know?
Yes.
Like,
it really is.
We're having a blast just playing music. My whole thing is I want to make a record a year, you know? So.
Yeah.
And why not? We're not beholden to a record label. It's just us.
Right.
And it's how much we want to put into it is how much we get back. So,
yeah. So I had my eye waiting for this one, waiting for the new one, Future You, for a while now.
Oh, and then, really? Did you get it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, cool. from the label.
Yeah.
But before that, then Bingham's Hole, like
the reissue
popped out, and I thought, okay.
What's that?
This is cool.
Yeah. So that's an interesting record.
How'd that come about?
So that was our fourth record or third, fourth record in the 90s, and at that point we were just touring constantly, 300 shows a year, 200 shows a year. At the height of our powers, great on stage. And we played in New York, and this guy, Peter Kadis, came out, and he's like, I want to produce you. And so we just, 2 weeks of tracking. It was awesome, you know, 2 weeks of mixing. He had his own label called Dot Dot Dash. And it became sort of, it kind of blew up, and then we got on tour with Lisa Loeb and played to larger places, you know, 1,000 to 10,000. You know, she had her big hit, Stay.
Wow, yeah.
And then Geffen signed us. But that record, Bingham's Hall, was the one we were known by and got great reviews. But it was never mastered.
Really?
Mastering's a weird thing. You think, why do I need it? Because you want to sound good against Rage Against the Machine. You know?
Right.
And
yeah,
even
right.
if you're, you know, doing soft pop music, you can still be loud. And Rage comes on and it's okay. But when you don't master it, you don't exist almost, you know. So, you know, they go through all the rainbow of sound. It's like, you know, there's red, there's purple, there's blue. And they just pick the stuff that you didn't think of and put it forward and what radio likes and what every turntable likes, what every CD player likes, what every digital platform likes. And now you master for, we made records in Sweden. We have a label there that makes just records. They're very passionate about records.
Nice.
But there's a different mastering platform for that.
Okay.
It's a lot different than digital. So,
I bet so.
So, yeah. So, we remixed it kind of and remastered it. Anyway, long story short, Peter Kadis, his first production, he went on to produce The National. He still does.
Okay.
Interpol. Got a Grammy for Sting.
Holy cow.
Wow, yeah.
Frightened Rabbit. I mean, if you look at his website, he's always been great. You know, he'll work through the night, work through the day. He's a trooper. But if you look through his lineage of bands that he worked, he has a place in Connecticut. It's this big house. Jonesy. Sigur Rós.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally everybody. And we were his first production. And he says, you know, yeah, you guys really helped put me on the map. You know, just put me on the map.
Right.
Obviously, these other bands are huge. But it's great to see him all these years, watch him, you know, do his thing. And so that was his first production, that record.
Wow.
And so we just put it out again. And it's fun to listen to it because, not to sound pompous, it didn't age. Some music does.
Exactly. Yep.
You hear, like, you know, people trying to do David Bowie in the 80s or
yeah.
or like, rah, yeah, war, yeah, all that 90s stuff. Yeah, yeah, rah, yeah. You know, and it's
exactly.
just like, it kind of doesn't sound right. He's got cotton in his mouth. But there we were, you know, just doo 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 doo. And it's like, it sounds kind of current. So
exactly.
we're like, just put it out. And
no, there's not a time limit. There's not a decade sound to you guys. The first time I heard you. I thought you were a brand new band.
See, that's a good thing. You know?
Before I researched, I was blown away.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bad part of that, because when you sound like now, like in 90 when bands were, you know, it was like, yeah! You know, like, you sound current, and everyone's like, check out this band. It's the now sound, you know?
So
we don't even exist in the now. We're, you know, hey, did you know about them? Or, you know, so that's the downside. We, the success is not immediate ever. You know, it's a long burn. It's a slow burn over a long time.
But the long time burn and love of your sound, and like I said, it's timeless, and it's not going to be a flash in a pan,
right.
obviously.
You've
sustained.
I have friends
for years.
Who listen to the Mummy.
Oh, really?
But, yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Maybe we just
stay in the
room.
The young folk over here.
Yeah. How old are they?
My age, 20,
awesome.
21, 22, yeah.
I love it, man. Yeah, I was in San Antonio, and this guy was playing me song, band after band from San Antonio, and they were all great,
mm-hmm.
and they all sounded like us. And he's like, you got to check this out. I was just so happy that it wasn't over the top, it wasn't overproduced, it wasn't flashy, It was honest music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And music you want in your record collection, whatever that is now. But
it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, so it's nice to be in that sort of, you know, that group, you know, with the Death Cabs and, you know, all those wonderful bands that we love and cherish.
And we've talked before about, you know, the influences for you guys, for the Mummy Heads. And now you are influencing so many others.
Well, that's just a lot of
just
pressure.
Fantastic. No.
Is it hot in here? It's like sweat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's gotta feel good.
Hell
know?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same as being a teaching at a college, you know, being the person at the station.
Watching the newbies grow.
Yeah. Same responsibility and pleasure.
You know, pushing them off the edge and then they fly.
Fly away.
Yeah. It is. That's amazing.
Yeah, and they're going to reference you in the future. You know, 10 years from now, they're going to be talking about you. So
yeah. We hope.
A lot
of pressure. In a nice way, though. I don't know,
oh,
Jeff.
Man, she was tough.
Oh, that Jeff. Lord.
Oh, there's definitely going to be some of that. So tell us a little bit about the new album. It's only been out for a couple months now. It's charting well on the NACC chart. So let's get into the newer stuff and tell us about kind of the thought process going into this
Jeff's
album.
Jeff's keeping us on the rails here. So
production 101.
Yeah, that's true. The last record was a little dark. This one is a little opened up. You know, the concepts are more opened up, and we're having fun, and they're easier to play live. And yeah, it picked up at radio. When I saw the comments, I was blown away. Because Rob sends us these, you know, it's like an Excel spreadsheet on the very right of the comments section.
Rob Hagsman?
Yeah, and he's like, check out those comments. And everyone was like, love it.
Yes.
So it got up to 85.
I was over the moon.
So. And I was like, that's amazing. It's 85.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The last record did well on Submodern, which I have no idea what that is. What Submodern is?
Submodern.
I have some made up name.
I don't think I've tracked Submodern.
Yeah,
I
was like, me neither.
It was top 20, but I'm like, Rob, you making this up? No, so, it's to be honest, it's just fun to play, and it's fun to be active, and our shows are great. I wish we could tour more. I wish we could come to Texas. It's hard to get four guys in the van.
Right.
You know? Right. Yeah.
But
yeah, I wish you guys would come down here too.
I would love to. Listen, if you ever do a benefit show, we're there. We'd love to support, get on the stage with some local bands, whatever you want to do.
Right. You heard it. It's recorded.
This has been recorded.
You've got the name for the next album, too. Four Guys in a Van.
Four Guys in a Van.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It's Smell-O-Rama. You can scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff.
Is that socks? Old burrito? We actually when we tour, there was always a smell of something.
Oh, man.
Was that burrito from 3 weeks ago?
It's usually patchouli oil.
Yeah. We got good at the smells
looking
to cover
under
up
the seat,
our
like,
other
the
smells.
Yeah.
You know, like lemons, always have lemons.
Oh, yeah.
Little pine trees hanging from
right.
The visor.
Yeah. You got like a stack of 20 of them after a while. Yeah.
So it's not easy to tour. We're definitely going to do it at some point. And in the meantime, I'll do this and make records because, let's face it, people binge watch Netflix now and probably don't want to leave their house. So it's just better to let them sit on the couch and we'll hit them with the radio. You know?
Have you ever thought about doing like a concept album where like the whole album is kind of like the soundtrack that somebody can just put on and it's each song is kind of telling a different story of a theme?
I'm juggling that right now. I think I want the next record to be a concept record about being in a band.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. I like it.
I think that I asked the keyboardist, he's like, I want to write a song. What should I write about? I'm like, write about being in a band because everything is so lofty. Like, our drummer is a big prog guy from the 70s, and he turned me on early Genesis. I was a pop, you know.
Nice.
He was
nice.
In a Peter Gabriel. I was more into Phil Collins. And all the prog, and we've sort of got a prog pop sound. There's crazy time signatures, but it's still pop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we've had to invent our own genre a little bit. But singing about fairies and goblins and you know, weird places that don't exist in another universe as a prog record, concept record, has kind of been done. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Rush has done it. Yes. Genesis has done it. Yes has done it. So we need new material, and it's not easy. So I thought, well, you know, let's just write about us. Maybe we can disguise ourselves as goblins, whatever, but maybe we'll come up with some good stuff, like middle-aged men making music.
I like the band concept.
What a progressive concept. I'll play another song. This song is, I had this dream about the normal pedestrians of France. Well, I read about it a little bit, then I had a dream about it. It was about World War II dream. Not all of them are great. Did you see Jojo Rabbit? It's out.
Yeah.
It's going to sweep.
I haven't either.
It's going to sweep.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are obviously movies about it, and they seep in your dreams, but mine was about World War II and about Germany's and Hitler's fascination with art, and there were movies about that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I read about it after, and there were these just normal people that went into the Louvre and helped them pack up all their art. in 40 or 39, 40 because they were coming. The Germans were coming.
Right.
And they just got their own cars and they were packing, you know, priceless works of art into these vans and cars. And they couldn't hide it in the basement because they would have found it. And they had a fascination with art because art was so expensive. You know, it was valuable. It was like gold.
Yeah, yeah.
And war is like that. You take what you conquer Paris, you're going right to the Louvre.
Right.
You're not going to steal the Eiffel Tower. It's bolted down. But so the dream is about what if they had gotten all this art, and especially about the Mona Lisa, because we have such a fascination about this piece of art.
Right.
I went to the Louvre, and you can't even see it.
No, it's tiny.
It's small. It was actually stolen once,
mm-hmm.
And returned. And part of the dream was, what if they got the Mona Lisa? Would we give them Nebraska in exchange? Like, okay, you lost the war, but give us, where's the Mona Lisa? Tell us, you know?
Right.
So I had this just dream about the Mona Lisa and a power struggle between the Germany losing and, but what art did they have to negotiate with? It's pretty nuts. Anyway, I'll just, and also Hitler was a failed artist, so there's a lot of lyrics in here. Don't ever piss a failed artist off.
I bet.
I should know. Anyway, One Drop of Beauty. Here we go. Asleep on a velvet bed, we're running out of time. In a van shot full of lead, we're running out of time. On a road with both our headlights off, we've driven off the map. Now there's no turning back. The failed artist is on the march. His paintbrush burns the trees. He's always a stroke away to a world down on its knees. His canvas is the disillusioned crown. Each word dilutes the facts. Now there's no turning back. But a glance at her was a higher power. He searched for her till his final hour. But a forgery stood in her place. Now we'll never get to see her face or a drop of beauty. One drop of beauty. Time wasn't on our side, we couldn't plan ahead. Three circles drawn by hand, three circles drawn in red. On a trail a bounty hunter couldn't find, we hid her in a box, down deep in a salt mine. The failed artist is at the door with a non-aggression pact. You can smell the scent of war. His smile is just an act. His canvas is the disillusioned crowd. Each word dilutes the facts. Now there's no turning back. But a glance at her was a higher bar. He searched for her till his final hour. But a forgery stood in her place. Now we'll never get to see her face or a drop of beauty. One drop of beauty. We never thought we'd get this far. From just following the stars. All this time, never knowing. A decoy from the real thing. But a glance at her was a higher power. He searched for her till his final hour. But a forgery stood in her place. Now we'll never get to see her face. Oh, one drop of beauty. One drop of beauty. Whoa.
of beauty. One drop of beauty.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Skip with the story, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We'd be like,
yeah.
What?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know why it just hit me while I was watching you play. Have the kids picked up instruments?
So my son is playing a uke. He got a uke for the holidays, and it's a gateway instrument.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So now he's playing guitar.
Okay.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been waiting, not pushing, but just waiting. And
I figured that was gonna.
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna trickle in.
My
there
daughter plays flute. It's just great. You know, back in the day, 1800s, every house had a piano.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now you go on Craigslist. There's like 1,000 pianos.
That breaks my heart.
I know.
When I see them, that people are just giving them away just for free.
For free
on Facebook. I'm like, what?
I'll take one.
I know.
Yeah, right.
You need room.
Gosh.
It's like no one has room. Everyone's in a condo now.
I would never get rid of my upright ever.
I was going to ask you, because you've got two. I've got two. Mine are 7 and 3, two daughters. And so I'm looking at an electronic drum set, because I've got one that's like got restless leg syndrome or something. She's got so much energy. She's always, you know.
I think that's wonderful.
Electric drum set. Wife's fighting me on it.
Why?
You advocate for me here. This is me talking to the musician.
Yeah.
She just doesn't think that they'll actually use it enough. She's like, let's go and do lessons. I'm like, let's get it. Then we'll put them in lessons. And then when she's just crazy, we just let her go.
Well, is it a sound restrictive area? Is your place?
Yeah, it's going to be upstairs. And yeah. We've got a
but
little
area.
But is
it a house or a condo?
It's a house.
I mean, go for the real kit, you know, or...
Laura's going to be mad at you.
Get some smoke machines while you're at it.
You already know? Got them. I got a fog machine already. We're good.
He's ready. He's going to make a band.
But what do you think the right age is to get kids? Is it just when they kind of, it piques their interest, that they're interested in music?
To me, I think it's any age.
Okay.
It's really up to you to take her to some shows. And whether it's the Wiggles or it's Judas Priest, just take her out and like get you know, when they see you responding, and you guys have plenty of shows to go to and plenty of cool, you know, bands coming in or whatever, just involve them. And then the age, to me, I thought it would be younger for my son. It was later, and my daughter was earlier. So
maybe it's the gender. Maybe the girls are just more inclined to want to do music.
Yeah, well,
guys are we have bad attention.
bad no attention. You know,
that is true. Though I started before my brother with music, so
I think girls seem to have better attention. But my son's late, but I don't know. This is a tough one.
So if you were just gonna do you have a specific, because you were talking about piano. I know that's something we wanted to do. We actually have a friend that teaches piano, so there's the built-in right there. But what do you think's like the best types of instruments that are gonna branch you out? Because I feel like if you can play the piano, you can play anything.
I think every
music.
Kid has they'll adhere to the instrument that they want to do. Like I was always a string guy. I'm terrible on a piano. So what I would just do is get a music room in the house.
Okay.
Just dedicate a room.
Experiment.
And get a piano in there. Get a little drum set, whatever it is. Maybe a flute or something. You know, just one of each.
Yeah. Okay.
And even if they're loners from family.
A wind, a brass. A
and just for them to know when they become inspired, they got a music room. If you have the space. We're in Texas, right? So
I've got the space.
In New York, it's
a
little different.
Brooklyn now.
Yeah. New York, you get like that little closet near the bathroom is where, you know, but here you can, if you can, and then just, they always know that room has music in it.
Okay.
And that, here's another thing. Make sure you have a record player near where you hang out when it's cold, you know, and the TV's off, and bring some records home and listen to a side, because Alexa and Echo, they'll fight over it. No, play this. But when you're like, okay, kids, the needle's going down. Here's the rule. We're going to finish this side. I see a record player as almost like, you know, that when you can take a dog on a plane and they have the little you know, comfort animal, whatever it is,
right.
Service the dog. Service. I see record players and records as the service dogs of culturally of our lives. I think there's a reason that, you know, vinyl.
Interesting.
Yeah, vinyl is certain amount of length. Like, it's whatever it is, 35 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. We started making CDs too long. It got right. boring, you know. It's like reading a book, and then the book keeps, you know, there's a zipper, and then another book gets attached.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, how long is this book? It's 1,000. So there's something to a short, you know, Fahrenheit 451 or, you know, Catcher in the Rye. Like, you can carry it with you. It's one vibe. A record is, you know, five songs on one side, five songs on the other. When right. the needle goes up, that thought is done. And right. I think it's a therapy session. It's a service session. It brings you closer to your family. There is a value to it.
I like that.
And digitally, we get everything all the time. So you don't end up not wanting anything.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You ever go in the supermarket, yeah. it's too big?
Yeah,
and you're in the middle aisle, and you're like, "I've lost my appetite."
Which one?
Right.
Yeah. Why was I here? And you're lost. It's going to take me an hour to get out. That's digital. And to me, records are the little
like the mom and pop.
I passed a place. I got a coffee on the way in. It was like a little bakery mm-hmm. on the main road, right near, you know, where the river is.
Uh-huh.
And it walked in. Here's your bread section, just baked. Here's your cheese area.
I love that.
And it's like the cappuccino machine makes a noise.
Yep.
Makes you thirsty. There's all these different things happening to your, you know,
all
your senses.
Stimuli.
And it's not this one long aisle of white boxes. Just keep, you know, it's actually like colorful in there, and you're, you know, you feel inspired, and you're thinking about Paris, and you know, that's a record.
Exactly.
To me, a record should do that to you if it's properly done. And digital is like, I'm lost. So for kids, going back, full circle, mandatory listen to one side, you pick the record, you know, go to record fairs, go to any local store that has records in that little place, buy a couple of old records, buy some new ones at Old Navy or wherever they sell them, and use it as a family therapy session.
That's nice. That's a great idea.
Well, yeah. And the good news is we have quite a few record stores just here in Fort Worth that actually do, they have that atmosphere. They have live music in the venue.
Yeah.
It feels
good.
It does feel
good.
And
they have the catalog of all different genres that you can
seem like I let my daughter
taste of each.
I let my daughter we'll go sometimes to a certain record store here in town and they have, you know, they have records that are like a dollar. And I just let her go dig through there and she just finds the one that has like the coolest art.
Yeah.
Because that's the other lost art of vinyl versus digital, right? Like, sometimes you pick an album.
Look at this Doors record. And you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Who's that guy? Oh, Jim Morrison. That's another conversation. You know,
he's living in the Caribbean right now.
No, I went to a store near me in Ossining. It's a famous, it's called Bruised Apple. And I walk in and I found these records. I'm like, oh my. I bring it up to the guy and he gives me this look. This knowing look.
Oh.
You know, this.
Oh. You know, got it. Yeah.
And it's not this, like, I'm so disgruntled, I want to go home. It was, you know, he knew what I was seeing. We were seeing the same thing. And I was thinking is, I got to support him. Like, I dropped $100 that day on like, records. And my son picked out Sandinista from The Clash. I was like, this is great.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was just like, I understand we want stuff for free, we want Spotify, we want options, but there is an experience that happens, and it transcends this lonely everything world.
Right.
So, yeah, I would support those stores in a heartbeat, especially if you have them.
Absolutely.
We do.
Well, you got any other songs you want
to
play for us?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Please do.
I'll try to play more new ones. This is... You know,
I don't know how you crunched for time you are, and we're having a blast.
How long is this going for? Yeah, I'm having a blast too.
We're gonna post this to our website probably later today. So once you know,
great.
You guys do what you want to do.
Well, I do have to catch a flight. I'll play one more, and you know,
it's kind of a busy man.
We'll do some photo op situations.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, hang out in Fort Worth, Texas, a little while longer.
So I'm doing a video, and the third video is just goofy. It was for Sweden. We had a guy sing one of our songs in Swedish, and. I'm in a dog mask, and I'm in like a Breaking Bad yellow hazmat outfit, jumping around with my guitar. And my son comes in the basement, and he goes, "Dad, why do you do this to yourself?" And so
your son sounds awesome.
He's pretty
he's
awesome.
He's listening to Clash records. He's coming up with ideas for songs.
He's cool. So this song is called "Compelled," which is I don't know if I'm explaining why we do what we do, but we'll see.
It doesn't make sense, the things we do. We're caught in a trap, some kind of feedback loop. We're so convinced that we're in control, until you taste that pill and you swallow it whole. There's only one way in and only one way out. Your will to live was never in doubt, and you wonder what this is all about. You do it 'cause you're compelled. You do it 'cause you're compelled. You do it 'cause you're compelled. Look in the mirror, what do you see? Little fragments of our history. We're strung together, though we think we're apart. The blood from your past is flowing through my heart. Millions came before, and there are millions at the door, treading between love and war. And you wonder what they do it for. They do it 'cause they're compelled. We do it 'cause they're compelled. Running from despair, chasing a metal hair. Are we too compelled to look around? Our instincts helped us thrive and kept us alive, but they can also tear us down. They burn down your temples and try to starve you out. They melted down your gold, put your faith in doubt. You say that never again will you be fooled, until you load that chamber and a trigger gets pulled. There's only one way in and only one way out. It's a miracle that we are still alive. We ate the forbidden fruit and still survived. We did it 'cause we're compelled. We do it 'cause we're compelled. We do it 'cause we're compelled. We do it 'cause we're compelled.
Thank you.
All right. Nice. Yeah.
We're glad you made it down here and you get to
Mr.
come to
Adam
Texas.
Elk.
Such a pleasure.
Yes, Adam Elk of the Mommy Heads, if you didn't know.
That's right. Should say.
So. Yeah.
So introduce this guy, Adam Elk.
I think we introduced you at the beginning, but it's been quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, guys. I love it.
Well,
every year, if I have new material that's worth it, I won't put you through some.
No, any material.
All right,
just
well,
please open door.
Just the ability to be able to talk to you and understand a little bit more, and for somebody like Tim, one of our DJs here, to get to interact with another artist and you beat down yourself. You're like, oh, I went on this tangent. No, that was very good information for people that don't know what the business is like or what music is like. People forget what it's like. I mean, I think you're right when you talked about the love and the joy and the honesty, the soul that's in music, it is missing from
not
a lot
just
of it.
Pumping out song after right. song without.
It's not about money a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, it was. It got and it ruined it. And now, thankfully, there is no business left. You know, there are people that will you can call to help get your CDs to stations and stuff like that. But the business of making money is kind of not there.
Right.
My dad asked me, he's like, how's it going? I'm like, well, 1 million downloads from Spotify or YouTube and it's $15.
Right.
Yeah. So you tell me.
Yeah.
So, you know, then what is it about? It's about just feeling good about what you're meant to do.
It's the love of music.
Right. It's the love of music. And whether you're a DJ or a musician or a producer, whatever. And
but make sure you're an actual producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. but do it because I personally, like, when you're like my grandparents would do these mind games where they would, you know, like Jeopardy.
Oh, okay.
And you do memory games. Mm-hmm. For me, learning this new record for a tour of Scandinavia is my way of keeping sharp.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of chords, you know. A lot of, so I'm doing it to stay healthy. And I'm doing it because I love it. I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for the ability to come here.
For the future.
Right.
You know, and put out a message here and there and make people think. And I just, again, anyone at this school that is into music, just really sit down, look in the mirror and go, why am I doing this? And if everything is, you know, you got straight and narrow concepts you want to get out into the world, then do it because you love it.
Right.
So that's it.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
of course.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Love being here, dude.
Yeah. Nice meeting you. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Anytime.
All right.
Well, we're very blessed that you come out.
This is great for me.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, next year.
Come visit us. Our little spot. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Feeling better.
Yeah, it's good.
Next year, don't bring the Northeast weather with you. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's try to keep it in our nice 70-degree Novembers down here in Texas the way we like it.
There's going to be an app for that.
Yeah.
So, do you want to bring the weather with you? No.
No.
Decline.
Where are you headed to now?
So I'm going up to New York, and Tuesday I'm doing like 3 radio shows, like Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware. So that's going to be fun.
Okay.
I can't say they're going to be as good as this one.
Of course not.
I can tell you they won't.
Nope.
But again, they had great comments, and I want to meet every single person that has, you know, responds. In this day and age of, you know, thousands of emails.
That art is lost as
it's
well.
Lost,
so,
responding.
You know, we appreciate you
so much.
Sharing.
I'll keep making records.
Face to face with
knowing you guys are out there listening to it makes
me
feel
better.
We are
here.
Yeah.
For the people that want to find out more about your work, where can they, websites,
MommyHeads.com. MommyHeads.com. We got a Twitter. We're still working on Instagram. I think it just happens.
Yeah.
It's just people post.
You ta-da.
Know. It's crowdsourced. So, mommyheads.com is great. We have links up there for the last 3 records where you download from Bandcamp and you get artwork and lyrics and you pay what you wish.
Okay.
And it all goes to us.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah,
instead of Spotify.
Since you're making the whole thing.
So we have a nice page, and it goes right to your computer. Wow. And you can go to the website, and you can get swag, too. We got T-shirts and stuff and actual CDs and records. So
fantastic.
Yeah, and Twitter. Yeah. I'm always posting on Twitter. So.
Excellent. All right. Good to have you. We'll see you next year. Let's get some photos here.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Do it.
That's going to wrap up our interview with Adam Elk of the Mommy Heads. You are listening to 88.7 The Choice. Fort Worth, Texas.
Yay.